It's time to raise the roof once again. This is our fourth episode of Raise the Roof, your Tampa Bay Rays podcast. I'm here, Gibby's here, Evan's here. We are ready for a lot of fun, a lot of things to talk about. Unfortunately, the Rays didn't raise the roof in their last series, a two-game mini-series in Washington, D.C. We're going to discuss that in a little bit. Today is happy Sports Equinox Day to those who actually care. Today is that one special day of the year where the NFL, NBA, MLB and NHL all play in the same day, with a couple other leagues added in, the WNBA and MLS. It's the first time ever that's happened because sports are weird this year because we're in a global pandemic and life isn't good, but life will be good, hopefully.
But sports are good.
Sports are good. We will discuss this weekend's series, which starts tonight at Tropicana Field against the Boston Red Sox. We will have a quick IL injury update report, which is basically just saying that Ryan Yarbrough is back. There is a quick trade update. Yeah, a little bit of a spoiler. There is a quick trade update about one of the players to be named later in the Jose Martinez trade, who may or may not share hit the same name with a Baseball Hall of Famer. And trying to think. Since we're going to discuss it, some MLB things to discuss around the league. For those that didn't know, there were a lot of runs scored last night, but the Rangers still look really bad because they still have the modern day record for most runs scored in one game. So I think on that note, let's get into kind of a Rays recap of what happened in Washington, D.C. over the last couple of days. For you guys watching the series, what did you see happen? Because it did not look good.
I just think the bats went cold. And, you know, Scherzer, we were getting some hits on Matt Scherzer in that first game. But he just kept going and was able to get out at those innings unscathed, basically. Like, and just all those... Yeah, we just lost. I think our bats just went cold over this weekend. I mean, we kind of bounced back in game two, scoring three, but the offense definitely wasn't as productive as it could have been. So, yeah. And also our pitching was so-so, you know, in this series. So hopefully we're looking for Ryan Yarbrough to really bounce back and get our pitching going again.
I think difference was they took advantage of the men on base and we did. I mean, I don't know exactly, but how many we left on base, but I feel like we left like at least 10 people on base.
Oh yeah, we did.
In game
one.
First
two innings, we put like two people on each inning and then we got taken out the inning.
Like, yeah, when you have eight hits, you should have more than one run. Like that's
definitely.
And we had eight hits and one run in game one, and then game two didn't do anything either. Like other than one inning, we had three runs in one inning, but other than that, we didn't do anything. And Yarbrough looked pretty bad, I'm not gonna lie. Like I don't know what was going on. I mean, he just came off the IL, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see how he bounced back, and hopefully he bounced back well. But yeah, just a bad series. It happens to us. Just like I always say, bounce back, win tonight, win the series this weekend, and let's win this division.
Definitely.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm looking up some stats about a couple things that happened. So I've deemed that the problems that the Rays have had this year, both in this series against the Washington Nationals and in a previous series against the Baltimore Orioles, I've deemed it that they are now cursed when it comes to playing teams inside of the DMV area. I do have something to back that up, so I'm not just, you know, saying that just to say that. So right now they're 0-5 against teams in the DMV. For those that don't know, the DMV is Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. So obviously, you know, the Nationals play in D.C., Baltimore plays in Maryland. So they're 0-5 this year against them. And I just saw they are 6-12 against the Nationals at either RFK or Nationals Park. And since the Nationals were a thing and all time, so they were 46-46 in the 2010s decade, according to MLBCube.net, against the Orioles at Camden Yards, winning 51-44 at home. They have a much better winning percentage at home than they do away, because it's they're 109-91 at home against the Orioles, but 90-106 away against the Orioles, including that sweep earlier this year. So honestly, there might be some merit to that they just don't play as well against the Orioles and or Nationals at Nationals Park and Camden Yards. I just think there's a curse. Yeah, I just think it's they're cursed. There's some sort of curse that has happened. I mean, clearly. So
what
let's
would you
just
call
look
it?
At, I would just call it the curse of the DMV. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, in the last, let's see, the last 5 years against the Orioles at Camden Yards, 0-3, 6-4, 4-6, 5-5, 2-8. So that's as of right now, that's three of those years are losing records. One of them is a 500 record, and one of them is barely above 500. That was last year.
And it's not like it doesn't make much sense because it's not like these teams are. I mean, yeah, I know the Nats won the World Series last year, but.
And Scherzer's good pitcher.
Haven't played the Nets in 3 years, and we got swept in D.C. that year. It's not like – it's weird because it's not like these teams are – the Nats and the Orioles have not been that good, like, other than last year, obviously, when the Nats – and the Nats still last year weren't even that good. They just had one hell of a postseason run. Mm-hmm. But, like, obviously, that was a struggle. I mean, I want to say it's kind of similar to the Yankee Stadium curse for us, excluding this year. But, I mean, Yankee Stadium is tough to play out anyway. No disrespect to the Nats or the O's, but it's just harder to play at Yankee Stadium than it is to play at National Park or Camden Yards.
It's like one of the hardest ballparks to play at just because you got all those fans and they're all screaming at you. But, I mean, most baseball players don't really care about that, too.
And it's hard for the Rays, especially because they're not a home run hitting team. They're more of a ground ball team, and the Yankees are a home run hitting team. So like, Yankees Stadium just favors the Yankees big time in that.
Definitely.
And we were able to keep them in the yard this year, but other than that, we haven't been able to play well against the Yankees at any other year than this. But
and the Orioles are the same way too. Let's not forget that the Orioles.
True.
I mean. Though the Orioles aren't the best team in the world, they are accustomed to hitting a lot more home runs considering that Camden Yards is a hitter's park. I do kind of want to – so I guess a couple things about the – so other than the fact that, you know, like there's a curse in my opinion, I think that, you know, a couple things to kind of address about last weekend's or about the series a couple days ago being a mini series. We did kind of say that – or I said that I felt like there was going to be some sort of a split, so maybe they'll end up sweeping both games at the Trop. Who really knows? I'm glad they're getting back to the Trop this weekend because I think that they have had their struggles on the road this year. They've had their struggles, obviously, in the DMV. They've had their struggles in Buffalo against the Blue Jays. So there's, you know, there's actual merit to saying that. On top of all of that stuff, I think that this series, they did have two pitchers that just recently came off of the IL in Morton and Yarbrough. So you wanted to see good outings out of them, but you also knew that you were going to be relying on your bullpen a lot more. Lau got a few hits in the series, which I'm happy about, but he's still playing like crap as of recent weeks, which isn't good. I'm hoping that what happened at the beginning of the year happens in the last. So what are the Rays? 28-15 now. So they've played 43 games this season. So, you know, like the last 20 games or so in the season. Or the rest of the season.
Yeah, 28-15.
Yeah, so they can kind of turn things on like that. But when it comes to just looking at this team overall, they really didn't produce offensively, and it's a big problem that the bats have gotten cold. And I'm really concerned about that moving forward is that the bats are getting cold a lot quicker. Meadows really isn't having that much of an impact this year as he did last year. And honestly,
I was just going to say Meadows. I mean, he's about 202 right now.
But
like,
I do think that that is a side effect of getting COVID because some guys really aren't like – when you get it, it still does have those adverse effects over time.
Yeah.
So it does have those lingering effects. So I think that could be part of it. And he's just not the same guy. Like, I know that they talked about Eloy Jimenez having sort of the same kind of problems, which is he's just not feeling like the Eloy Jimenez of last year, which is maybe the same thing that what Meadows is going through is that he's not the same guy because he just had this disease run through his body. And it's still there in some way. Like, I'm sure it doesn't just go away like that because people have tested positive for it more than once.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious to see kind of if that's the problem for it. But I am glad to see
Tommy Pham had a similar problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he also got hit in the I think he got hit in the hand, right? He broke his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so other than that, I mean, Arozarena's still hitting well. Obviously Brosseau's hitting well. So I'm hoping that those guys can try to carry the team more, but we need the bigger bats to come out. We need Renfro to really hit well towards the end of the season. We need Lau to come back to the guy that he was before. We need Adames to start hitting for more power. There's guys that we rely on as a team that they haven't produced as much.
Like, I don't understand why Brosseau plays once every, like, five games. Like, I feel like he rarely ever plays. He's batting, like, 330.
Yeah, they got to put him in more.
He's much better than Choi. He's much better than Choi in terms of his offense. I don't know about his defense.
And Sussuego. Sussuego's batting 196. Granted, he does have, like, he is probably leading the teams in home run. But, like, still.
Wait. How many home runs does Yoshi have?
Yes. Oh, wow. Probably not. He only has six.
Oh, yeah. Lau
has, like, yeah.
But still, that's – I mean, I'm glad that Sussuego's hitting better. I wish that other things happened, but, you know, I'm just hoping that they can, you know, they can right the ship. I don't know if you guys have any last comments about the series.
No, that's all. We just got to get our bats back.
Last thing I want to say is that I'm just disappointed that we only scored three runs on Anibal. I mean, he's a 6-plus ERA. I just think we definitely have the potential to put up, like, at least five on him. But it was just one of those series. Really doesn't matter. I mean – Blue Jays did beat the Yankees 2 out of 3, so I think we got four games in front of the Blue Jays now. But, yeah, just bounce back. Mm-hmm. Win this series against the Sox, then should be fine.
Yeah, Maroon Sox coming.
So that's kind of our recap of what happened. Obviously, we're going to get into our preview in a little bit. Just a quick thing about what happened in Major League Baseball yesterday. So for those that didn't know, two teams ended up scoring 19 runs or more, which I don't even know that. I feel like that's the first time in Major League Baseball history that happened. And if not the first time, one of the first times. There was a scoregami yesterday for those that know who John Boyce is of SB Nation and know NFL scoregami. Basically, that's when a score that hasn't happened before happens in a game. So the 29-9 score line of the Braves-Marlins game was the first time that a 29-9 game has ever happened in Major League Baseball history. So that was a cool thing. The Braves now have the modern-day NL record for most runs scored in a game.
The fact that the Marlins scored 9 runs in itself should be enough to win and still lose by 20 is that – that's honestly hard to fathom how that even happens, but
yeah, Adam, like, Duvall had a monster night.
You score 9 runs and you win that game. I bet nine and a half times out of 10, and you didn't even come close to winning the game. You lost by 20. You got tripled. You literally got tripled. Like, that's God. I can't even. That's hard to believe, honestly.
That's crazy when you just said it like that. Oh, they scored 9 runs and then they lost by 20.
Like, yeah, you score 9 runs and you're like, okay, we should win the game. Like, when a team scores 9 runs, I wonder what the probability of is when they win the game. Or, like, how many times you score 9 runs, how many times you win
the game. And then you lose
by 20.
That's insane. Yeah, so Adam Duvall hit 3 home runs. I think for the second time this year, and the Braves have had a guy hit 3 home runs at least 4 times that I can remember, because they had Ozuna, and then I think, or maybe 3 times, because this happened, Ozuna happened, and then another guy hit 3 home runs after Ozuna's game, and it was like the first time that a team had guys hit 3 home runs in a game, back-to-back games. Mm-hmm. So they're looking really, really formidable. Really glad that we took that series split earlier in the year, because they weren't as good then as they currently are now, because they're on some other level right now of offense. Obviously, the Brewers defeating, I believe it was the Tigers, 19-0. The Tigers aren't really going anywhere this year.
That was just brutal.
It was a brutal beatdown. The Tigers had the worst record in baseball last year, won less than 50 games, and I kind of feel bad for them because I don't want them to suffer like this. But like I said before, the Rangers still have the modern day record for most runs scored in the game, 30-3 route of the Orioles back in 2007. It is funny because I think that the Rangers are like 3-17 or some crazy stat like that since Tatis swung away on 3-0 and hit the grand slam, which just shows you how
good.
Yeah.
Good. They deserve that for getting so uptight about that.
It was a really, really bad look for the Rangers. It was a bad look for Jace Tingler too, who was the manager of the Padres. Awful. But yeah, the Padres are on another level, and then the Rangers are on the exact opposite level.
Good. The Rangers deserve that. I was pissed how people were mad about Tatis swinging on 3-0. It's like, dude, make a good pitch if you don't want him to hit a home run.
Didn't the Braves Didn't the Braves get a grand slam in the ninth inning?
Yeah, it was in like the seventh or the eighth inning. It was on a 1-0 pitch, and people were like, oh no, all the baseball traditionalists are going to go crazy because Austin Riley hit a grand slam on 1-0 when they were up 20.
It's like...
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's...
I have a question for you guys. Is the with what the Padres and the Braves doing lately, are their offenses really good, or is the pitching in the NL bad?
Well, the Braves pitch... I don't know. I think it's probably the pitching, because like the Braves pitching hasn't been that good because they lost Soroka for the year.
Yeah.
Freed has been better, but yeah, the Padres pitching isn't that good either, because Paddock's regressed, and they did get Clevinger, but they've only had Clevinger for like one or two starts.
I mean, other than the Dodgers, what are the rotation? I mean, the Marlins have a very low key, really good rotation.
The Phillies have a good 1-2 in Nola and Wheeler, who's really turned into a good pitcher this year. The Cubs have Darvish and
Lester.
Darvish.
No, Lester's. Not Lester.
The Kyle Hendricks.
Right. Right.
And they have, I think they still have Tyler Chatwood, and I think Lester's. I don't think he opted out this year, but I don't know how well he's doing.
Oh no, yeah, he's playing on the Cubs.
Yeah,
but and the Reds. Reds have Bauer, who's been an absolute stud.
Yeah, Gibby, what do you think
about? Oh, I just think it's a combination of like all these National League teams getting these scores. I think it's a combination. The Marlins pitching didn't have a good outing, and like some of their bullpen's a little lacking sometimes. And I think the Atlanta just has really good hitters too, on top of a bad outing from their bullpen.
Do you think that both, I mean, what Evan was just talking about, the offenses of both Atlanta and San Diego and these other teams in the NL, do you think that it's more that they have good offenses, or is it more that the pitching league-wide hasn't been that great?
I definitely think the pitching is down in the National League, like, as compared to the American League.
Okay.
And I also think they're just more of a, they got a lot of hitters, you know. They're more of a hitters, I feel like, league this year.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's a combination. And they're just playing National League teams all the time who have bad pitching sometimes. And that's just the recipe for high-scoring games.
That's true.
And we forgot about the Mets. The Mets have really good pitching too. So
yeah, the Mets do have when they're healthy, and even when they're not healthy, they still have decent pitching. Because
I mean, DeGrom is
up here, and
he's somehow underrated. I feel like
he's definitely underrated.
He's definitely taken for granted, because people would just expect him to go out there, throw seven innings, like nothing, like no one's even watching him. I feel really bad for DeGrom, honestly.
But he's won back-to-back Cy Young, so I don't really think that he's getting angry that much.
Oh, no, not at all.
He's getting paid. I want to pose this question to you guys. So I talked about this to you guys before the podcast, and I know that we had just – I think I mentioned it at the beginning. But Roberto Clemente Day was just celebrated throughout Major League Baseball. I know the Pirates, for the first time in quite a while, all their players wore the number 21 on their jerseys, Roberto Clemente's number. Fun fact, for those that don't know, the right field wall in at PNC Park is 21 feet high, as a, you know, like in, to honor Roberto Clemente. And then all of the players of Puerto Rican descent around baseball also wore the number 21. That number right now is obviously retired by the Pirates. But do we think there's a possibility that a player of Roberto Clemente's stature, the things that he's done with baseball, do we think that his number should be retired league-wide by Major League Baseball?
Jackie?
I like that idea, you know, because like Jackie Robinson was 42, Robert Clemente is 21, 21 times 2, 42.
Ooh, I didn't even think about it that way.
You know?
No,
so I feel it makes sense. He has a lot of contributions to baseball, you know. I don't know much 21 players now, and even if there were 21 players who have the number 21,
I don't think that there's many.
You would just grandfather them in like they did with blanking.
You're talking about Mariano?
Yeah, Mariano Rivera. Yeah.
Yeah. So Evan.
I feel like it makes sense.
Evan, how do you feel about that?
I'd be for it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really know much. I don't know about Roberto Clemente like I do about Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any reason why they shouldn't do that. Wasn't this year the first year that the Pirates did that.
What did they? Yeah, it was the first time in a while that they had worn. I don't know the exact date, but it was the first time in a while that they had worn the number 21 as a team.
I was surprised. I'm surprised it took them that long to do that. But yeah, like I said, I have no reason not to like that idea. So
yeah, I have a lot of. I have a lot of Puerto Rican friends here in Tampa. So and they all a lot of baseball fans too, and they all love Robert Clemente. So you know, his contributions are obviously felt through Puerto Ricans and Americans in general everywhere. So
do we think that there, so other than him, or like, do we think that there is a possibility of another player having their number retired league wide? If not Clemente, is there someone else that would fit the bill in the same way? Like, I'm trying to think about it, and I feel like maybe Hank Aaron would be the only other guy that I would say that would come to my head. But
what number was he?
He was 44.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Aaron was 44. I mean, there's like, it's tough to kind of find that one guy. But I mean, like, if you're going to have a day celebrating someone, if the Hank Aaron Award is a thing, this, you know, Roberto Clemente Day is a thing, and they have the Roberto Clemente Award and nominees for all the players. You would think that if they're doing that, then it garners enough to say that we should retire this person's number.
True.
I think my like kind of 2 cents on this whole thing, like, definitely don't like do retire people's numbers for the whole league when they did a lot for the whole league, like Jackie did. Jackie obviously made huge progress with the African American community in the MLB, and he deserved every bit of the glory he gets and the like this recognition of his huge like accomplishments in the league. And like, if I mean, did Hank Aaron do anything like that? I don't know. Like, is that?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I know that he had a big impact, and obviously him breaking the home run record of Babe Ruth. I know at the time he was receiving a lot of death threats from people because, you know, it was the 70s. The times were different. We had just gotten off of the civil rights movement, and people were still getting adjusted to the new normal, especially down in Atlanta, down in the South, where I know that the Braves moved from Milwaukee to Atlanta. But I mean, Atlanta itself, while now a very black culture hub and a hub of hip hop and a hub of different art and culture, and it's just a great melting pot of people to go to. It's back in the 70s, Atlanta wasn't the same way, and people didn't necessarily want Aaron to break Babe Ruth's record. This guy who had come out of nowhere, or I mean not this guy who come out of nowhere, but this guy who went from a pitcher to just a normal position player, hit 60 home runs in a season, a number that lasted for a while until Maris broke that, and then obviously Sosa McGuire broke that later. But it was one of those long-standing things, and I don't think that people were ready for him to break it, and then he actually broke it, and that was a thing. And now Bonds has a record, and people dispute that due to roids, which is a very understandable thing. But I think that in that sort of case, I think that Aaron would definitely he would definitely fit the bill. And like I said, there is the Hank Aaron Award, so I think, you know, it's something. It's for those that listen, if you guys want to let us know, comment, or just send some sort of feedback to us, letting us know who you think should be the next player, if there should be another player to have his number retired league wide. It'd be a really interesting conversation. And I think, you know, it's very open to debate moving forward. I think that from here we should talk just a quick IL report. So the really only the IL update news that I have is obviously Ryan Yarbrough, starting pitcher, returned for the team, or for the Rays, came in to pitch against the Nationals, had an okay outing, not the greatest outing of all time, but he was also coming off of an injury. So he kind of did what he could. I'm glad that he got into the game, and I'm glad that I'm glad that they used him. He pitched 2 2/3, gave up 4 earned runs, 6 hits. That wasn't great. He's not really had the greatest year this year in terms of, you know, where he's been before, but I know that he can rebound toward the end of the season. So I don't know. How did you guys think about his outing and, your hopes of other guys coming, getting healthy on the IL right now?
So,
you got it.
Okay. So Yarbrough only pitched like 2.5 innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got pulled out.
70 pitches too.
Oh, 70 pitches. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So obviously not the best outing, but, you know, coming off injury, just hope he tightens up for the rest of the season, you know, gets his pitches up. Yeah, that's all I got for him. You know, I trust him. He's going to come back.
I mean, he only had one walk, but yeah, he was in a lot of full count pitches. He was giving up hits and the full count like pitches. And it was frustrating because they didn't hit him hard. It's not like they were roping every hit. There were a lot of bloop, like singles. There were a lot of I wonder what the velos was, but like it was frustrating because it was just not going to defense. Defense wasn't lined up right. Just unfortunate. Nothing you could really do about that. But yeah, he looked a little out of control. Definitely out of control for Yarborough. I wonder when the last time he's went sub three innings. Bullpen played really well though. Bullpen only gave up one run in about six innings, so that's pretty good.
Six and a third.
A little less than six innings, yeah. Wait, I think five and a third. But they looked good. It's always good to have a good – I mean, bullpen kept us in it. We had a chance to tie it. We had runners on for a second and third with zero outs and only got one more run in. Just another bad start. It's hard to come back from 4-0, especially the way our offense has been playing. Mm-hmm. And Cody Reed went back on – he went on the IL. Dude, we just acquired another frustrating, like, injury. Don't know how good that guy is really yet, but I think Sheriff got called up. Yeah.
So that's I would say that's pretty good because I like Sheriff and I think, you know, he's a proven I know him more than I know Reed, so mm-hmm. I don't really know exactly what that's going to be. I mean, I feel like they're kind of in the same place where they're just right now they're kind of just filling in as an arm in the bullpen while we get other guys healthy, and they'll probably be there for the rest of the year and for the stretch run because so many guys in our bullpen and on our staff have gotten hurt and or aren't playing for the rest of the year or aren't pitching for the rest of the year. So yeah.
And hey, nothing like no better team to play when your offense is struggling than the Red Sox. So
that is true. That is true. A quick standings update before we get to our preview of the Red Sox. So right now, like I said, the Rays are 28-15, still the number one overall seed in the AL, best record. Oakland and the White Sox, the surprising White Sox, the surging White Sox, are currently 2-3. So Oakland's 26-15. The White Sox are 27-16. In terms of the rest of the AL East, Toronto right now is 24-19. They're four games back. They just lost to the Yankees, who snapped a five-game losing streak. The Yankees are six games back at 22-21, not really having a great year, suffering from a lot of injuries and a lot of setbacks. And then I would say kind of one of the big surprises of the AL this year is the Baltimore Orioles, who are currently 20-22. They are 7.5 games back in the division, but I think they're only a game and a half back of the second wild card, which would be the Yankees. So to see Baltimore get into a playoff spot would be hilarious. I do want to say the two teams that got into the ALCS last year, the Yankees and Houston, are a combined 44-43 this year. Yeah. So Houston's playing 500 baseball, not really that good. But and then I guess kind of sleeper teams, if you want to consider them sleeper teams. So I would say the top three seeds in are the top three teams in the AL Central are probably going to all go to the playoffs. Obviously, Oakland and Houston right now, Tampa Bay and Toronto, and then there's a race between the Yankees and Baltimore for that eight seed. But a surging team right now, 6-4 in the last 10 games, the Seattle Mariners, who are currently 19-24. They're a couple games back of the Yankees right now, so I'm trying to see. They're three back in the win column, four in the loss column. So that's 3.5 games back they are of that last playoff spot. So let's see. It'd be interesting to see what kind of happens there. We will see moving forward in the NL. Things are a little bit tighter. San Diego right now is tied for the Rays for the second most wins in baseball. They're 28-17, so that's kind of fun to see them slam Diego, and the White Sox have really done a lot of good things. So that leads us into tonight's. Oh wait, sorry, go.
That would be interesting. Little Rays Astros rematch. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that. And that's wild. That's crazy thing about the Astros are on the outside looking in right now.
I'd like to play the Astros.
But I'd like to – that'd be a great feeling, beating the Astros, especially all that's happened in the first round.
That is true.
But it is also interesting. I'm on ESPN right now, and they have 100 100% playoff probability of the Rays, Oakland, the Dodgers, and the Padres, which is really interesting.
Shout out to the Padres.
That's just crazy to me that they're saying they're 100% in when they haven't clinched.
I'm not saying they're 100% right now because the Rays are kind of in a downswing, and I'm hoping they can improve this weekend, which we'll talk about in just a sec. But yeah, they are kind of in a downswing, so I'm not going to say they're 100% yet.
Yeah,
but
we got a lot of batting practice this weekend, though. So
that is true. Who knows what's going to happen with the Red Sox? Because the Red Sox might come out of nowhere. But so that does lead us into talking about this current weekend series coming up against the Boston Red Sox, who have underperformed this year by a lot. They're currently 15-29. If we're looking at probable matchups for the weekend in terms of pitching, Josh Fleming's going tonight, who's currently 3-0 with a 3.52 ERA. Friday night will be Snell, 3-1 with a 3.74 ERA. Saturday, Tyler Glasnow, 2-1 with a 4.35. ERA, and Sunday, Charlie Morton, 1-2 with a 4.94 ERA. Again, his third start off of coming back from the IL. How do we feel about this weekend series against those Boston Red Sox?
We got to win 3 out of 4, I think. Like, I don't think we'll sweep them again. I mean, we swept them in Fenway 4 games. I don't think that's going to happen again. The Sox do usually play well at the drop, too. But just to bounce back, we got to win 3 out of 4, I think. Get our confidence back. I think we've lost a little bit of confidence at the plate. But, yeah, just – and they're the worst team in the AL standings-wise. Can't believe that's true. I can't believe they're worse than the Royals. But, yeah, we got to bounce back. Got to win 3 out of 4. Start strong tonight. I think we will. I think we'll start strong tonight. Who's pitching? Slager? Who's pitching tonight?
Josh Fleming's pitching tonight.
Fleming's pitching tonight. He's looked – knock on wood, but he's looked really good. 3-0 with like a 3.5 ERA in his first 3 career starts. Like, that's – can't ask much better than that.
I will say, just to quickly interrupt, so you were talking about how those Sox are playing at the Trop in recent years. So, dating back to 2015, the Rays are – let's see. So, this year, 1-1. Last year, 4-6. 2018, 5-5. 2017, 4-5. 2016, 4-6. And 2015, 4-5. You have to go back to 2014 was the last time that the Rays had a winning record at home against the Red Sox. The Rays have only had 6 winning seasons in terms of home record against the Red Sox. So that's not that good, but we'll see what kind of happens this weekend. With how good this Red Sox team is, or how bad they are, how confident are you guys in them snapping that streak this year?
I'd be pretty confident. I think we can win at least 2 games out of this series, like at least, unless they play us really hard, which I don't think they really got that fight in them, to be honest, this season. But I wouldn't ever count them out because, you know, they got good players on that team still. It's just kind of mediocre pitching. So we just really need our bats to come alive in this series, and hopefully we can just take that W in the series and just get our momentum going towards the end of the season into the playoffs. Yeah,
their first 4 are still really good. Like, mm-hmm. Verdugo has, I mean, he's definitely not worth bets, but like, I don't know how well he's playing, but I mean, their 3-4 are still, like, Devers, Bogarts, and Martinez. I think Bogarts has been the most underappreciated player in the whole MLB. He's just been very overshadowed. He's batted 290, I feel, forever. He always kills us. I mean, I'm a big Xander Bogarts fan. I love what he does. He comes in and out every day. Doesn't get the recognition he deserves. He has been overshadowed by Martinez, Betts, Benintendi. I cut like a couple years ago when Benintendi was really good. Mm-hmm. But he comes in, does his job, does it really well, and I'm always scared of him whenever he plays at Tampa. And Martinez, you always got to be wary of him. Always the threat going yard. Vasquez, I don't know how he's playing this year. He's been 278 this year, which is still really, for a catcher, that's really good. He was really good last year.
But also, they are very top heavy.
They are. Yeah, they're the bottom after Vasquez, Munoz, Bradley, Dalbec. I don't know who that guy is.
And Bobby Dalbec.
So, Bradley is stunned the field. One of the best center fielders in all of baseball. Sure, he's not the best hitter, but I mean, that's not what he doesn't really get paid to hit. He's batting. Let's see what he's hitting this year. He's he's batting 263, which for him, I feel like is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a decent offense, but their pitching is atrocious.
Yeah, their pitching is, I mean, their bullpen is probably worse than the Phillies, and that's hard to do.
That is.
And even though the Phillies are looking really good nowadays, but
their bullpen's still very shaky.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that – so right now in terms of – do we want to make predictions in terms of, like, how many games do we think that they can win, or are we just going to kind of leave that to what's going to happen on the field? Because I don't think – I don't want to try to jinx anything and say that.
Let's leave it up to the lineup.
Yeah.
Leave it up to the pitching.
They have the potential to do a lot of good things in this series, and I think that they can really put the Red Sox in their place, even though the Red Sox aren't playing well. The Red Sox are playing spoiler at the end of the year for a lot of these teams that will be making playoff pushes, so we need to watch out for that, and we need to be wary, and I think that the team will be in the same kind of way on that. So we'll kind of see what happens there. In terms of, I'm trying to think, is there, I guess if there was a player to pinpoint in this series as a guy that you think will be kind of like the breakout player of the series, and B, a guy that has already been doing well that you think is going to continue that, who are our players for this weekend?
I would definitely say a lot of our offense right now is being fueled by our young gun, Rosarina. So I'd like to see him keep up what he's been doing these past few series, keep getting hits, and hopefully he can get some other guys going too, you know, because they don't want to get shown up by a rookie. So we're not like a rookie, I guess.
Yeah. But no, I know.
Young player.
I could see Renfro going off this series.
Okay.
Like, I think I could see, I don't know. It's one of those weird feelings that Renfro might get the back going a little bit, maybe give us 2 or 3 home runs this series. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my heart talking over my brain, but.
No, I feel that.
No, I can see it. I'm going to say that I think that Brousseau is going to stay consistent, and I think that he's going to keep doing what he's been doing. And I'm going to say this because I really want it to happen. I need Lau to break out this series. If he's going to be consistent and going to be good by the end of this year, I need him to hit at least 500 in this series. I know that I'm probably asking too much there, but I need him to get multiple hits in all 3 games and hit a couple home runs and just get back into that production level that we saw him at the beginning of the season.
Definitely.
I like this lineup a lot. I like it. We've got a lot of speed in this lineup. I mean, it's Margot, Arozarena, Meadows, Brousseau, Renfro, Lowe, Adames, Kevon Smith, and Wendell. So I like that lineup a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming the pitcher we're facing is lefty because we got a ton of right-handed batters in the lineup. Brousseau is finally back in the lineup. But yeah.
He's great. I'm so glad that he's back in the lineup. I forget if he's a lefty already.
But yeah,
when you guys check that?
Who?
No, Red Sox?
He's a lefty.
He's a lefty? Okay.
Might kick him. But hey, last time we had Margot and Arozarena in a 1-2 spot was against the Yankees and scored 4 runs in the first, so.
That's a good sign. I like that.
It is.
I like that.
I think it was the same top 4. It was Margot, Arozarena, Meadows, and Brousseau, because Margot led off with a double, then Arozarena hit a bomb, and then Meadows hit a single, and then Brousseau hit a bomb. So I think it's the same 4 in that game.
Oh, well, maybe. Hopefully that'll give us a lot of good vibes moving forward, because that was a good way to end it. That's the last – it's one of the last wins that we've had in recent memory, because – I mean, we did take 2 out of 3 against the Marlins, but –
Yeah.
Hey, I think we've lost the last 3 out of 4, right? If we're looking at it like that.
Yeah.
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, yeah.
So that's not great. Maybe this will just be a hiccup, who knows, but they really need to pick up the bats this weekend, and they really need to play much better than they have been, or I guess much better than they did earlier this week against the Nationals.
Definitely.
Again, the Nationals kind of have our number at their place, and the Red Sox have their number at our place, but that doesn't mean that things can't change this weekend.
Yep. Just take care of business.
Take care of business. I think on that note, I think that pretty much wraps everything up. Thanks everyone for listening. Spotify is still kind of our main thing in terms of places you want to listen, but there's a bunch of other places that you can listen to. I think Pocket Casts, Anchor, and Breaker are a couple new ones. Well, Anchor's always been there, but a couple new ones have come up. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at RoofRays. That's pretty much it. Stay safe, stay healthy, everyone. Wear a mask, do all that good stuff, and raise up.
Raise up, baby.
Raise up.